The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus urges us to strive to enter through the narrow door. Welcome to our new seminarian, Jared Finsky. It's great to have you in our midst, and we look forward to you being a blessing to us, and we pray we also are a blessing to you over the next couple of years. In our prayers today, we include not only those listed in the bulletin, but also the family and friends of Justin Schulte, a friend of Jeb Ceramic, who passed away. Also, Dale Hopfinger, who is a friend of Barb's, who is hospitalized, and Brian Burns, brother-in-law of Marcia Grab, who is hospitalized. You might have noticed there is a new explanation to the service in the pews this morning. You're welcome to, before or after the service, look through that as a reminder of why it is that we worship the way we do, preferably not during the sermon. We do go to the care center today after Sunday school to sing. If you're able to join us, please do. A hymn festival at the seminary is this afternoon, celebrating the beginning of the new school year. It begins at 3 o'clock. We've got a group that'll be leaving from here at 1:45. If you'd like to join us, sign up back in the narthex, and we'll make sure that we wait for you. That is Jeff Blursch is the organist. He is the organ instructor at Concordia in Nebraska and is an outstanding organist. Years ago, I actually recruited him to go to St. John's Winfield whenever I was on the staff there. I failed, but he's a great organist. Sunday school and Bible class today, Paul and Silas in prison, and we talk about to what extent should Christians allow themselves to be mistreated? To what extent should we ask the law to intervene on our behalf? Urge you to invite somebody to a Bible class or to worship this week, so that others might be introduced to Jesus through our congregation. Greet one another. Oh, any other announcements that need to be made? Jerry.
Question, on an explanation book, are there any extras that somebody would like to take?
Yes, there are a handful of extras, and we can purchase more if necessary. So yes, if you want to take it home, please do. Absolutely.
Today or yesterday was the birthday of his twins.
Oh, is that right? It shows you how out of it I have been. I knew of it, but I know no details. Thank you. Do you know his name by any chance? Or does anybody know his name?
Justin.
Nick. Nick? Thank you. Nick. He may also be a co-worker of Scott Booth from our own congregation.
He lives in Waterloo.
Okay. So Nick. Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of our Lord.
Thank you.
3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Mighty God, Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into the one holy church in which you richly and daily forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Church here here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guard us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 66. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain, from the new moon to the new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath. All flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will praise your name forever, my Savior and God. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. I will praise your name forever, my Savior and God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will praise your name forever, my Savior and God. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we might share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. But you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. People will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. But once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' And then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Apostles' Creed, page 207.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. future grace is found, as feast in heaven.
Word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke chapter 13. You may wish to pull out your bulletin and follow along. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, where he was about to lay down his life for you, for me, and for all people who have ever lived or ever will live. And I'm wondering if through this whole process, the rabbis might be having an argument. An argument about how many people are going to be saved. They probably all agree no Gentiles are going to be saved. But the question is, will there be most of the Jews saved or only a few extra righteous people, you know, like the Pharisees? Rabbis maybe don't agree. Someone said to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Ah, they want Jesus to weigh in on the question. They want his opinion. Only Jesus can't give opinions. He can only give facts because he is God. He knows exactly how many people are going to be saved. They've come to the right source. And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. He didn't answer the question. He seems to be suggesting they should let God worry about that, and they need to be worried about whether or not they're going to be saved, not how many are going to be saved. Maybe the same is true of us. Dear Christian, will you be saved? Will you fit through the narrow door into God's kingdom? I think most of us assume that we're going to be, when the door is shut on the last day, on the inside with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus, not on the outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you know what? Everybody who was there in the first century talking to Jesus assumed they were on the inside too, and Jesus seems to suggest that it might be otherwise. Many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. Unlike what many, even in the church, are saying today, there is a hell. It is very real, and the people will be there, including, unfortunately, probably some people in this room. Here's why. When you generously sent Christine and me to Germany 3 years ago, thank you. One of the most memorable sights for me was seeing the Wartburg Castle, where Luther was holed up for a year, where he translated the whole Bible into German. That castle sits on the edge of a mountain. It's completely guarded. There's only one way in, across a drawbridge and through a very small door, or at least comparatively small. Jesus suggests that's precisely how heaven is. There is only one way through the walls that cannot be breached, and that is through a narrow door. When Jesus returns, or when you die, whichever comes first, that door will be closed to you. There's no possibility of it opening to you after that. Now, you might stand on the outside pounding on the door, wanting to get in. Jesus suggests there are people that will be doing that once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer, I do not know where you come from. And then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. The people who are there talking to Jesus, if they're on the outside pounding on the door, would be saying, well, Jesus, don't you remember when we had meals together? Don't you remember when you were teaching us? Don't you remember when we asked you how many people were going to be saved? You know us. And he says, but he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Well, he knows who they are in terms of identifying them. He has no relationship with them, though. When Jesus asks you, or if Jesus asks you, how are you going to fit through the narrow door? What are you going to say to him? Well, Jesus, you know where I come from. I come from Christ our Savior Lutheran Church. Well, I'll admit that maybe I wasn't all that frequent in my church attendance. I hardly ever went to Bible class, and okay, I'll admit, I didn't get to my children to Sunday school very often, but my name's on the rolls. Others of you can say quite honestly, I was in church almost every Sunday. I was regularly in Bible class. I got my children to Sunday school. I participated in the life of the church. I taught Sunday school. Gave 15% of my income to the church. I served on committees. And you know what? Jesus knows all of those good works that you do. And when they are done in faith, he is pleased with them. But do not lay them before him as your way into the kingdom of God. Because Jesus not only knows those good works, he also knows your heart and your mind. Today's Old Testament reading, I know their works and their thoughts, declares the Lord. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why he says, and he goes on with the narrow door story, depart from me, all you workers of evil. He knows our hearts and our minds. He knows how often we have come to worship, but our heart was not in it. When we weren't sincere about the words that we spoke. When we were within earshot of listening to him, but we paid no attention to what he was saying. He knows. And he sends away all workers of evil. Because he knows our thoughts and our deeds. Now, I don't want anyone to mistake. Jesus wants everyone in his kingdom. Everyone. But if he lets evil doers into that kingdom, then there's evil there, just like there's evil on this earth, and we end up with all of the same kind of suffering and sorrow there that we have here. He does not want that for anyone. And so he cannot let evildoers into his kingdom. And now here's my dilemma. I'm an evildoer. I know it every single time that he tells me what is good and I do what I want instead. Every time I harbor one of those impure thoughts or evil desires. You know what? Every time that I sin, every time you sin, it's as if we're putting on one of those, you know, those big bulky parkas. It's as if I put another one on. And then another sin over that, and another, and another. And when you consider all the sins I've got in my life is way too bulky ever to fit through the narrow door, and so is yours. Even if I have 1,000 good works to my credit and you give 95% of your income to the church, we're still too bloated to get through that narrow door. So will we end up on the outside looking in? Will we be the ones with the weeping eyes and the gnashing teeth? Worse yet, will we be looking into the kingdom and go, I could have been there. I could have been there. It was all given to me as a gift from Jesus, and I just neglected it. I turned my back on it. In that place, Jesus says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. I wonder if that's not the worst suffering of hell. Realizing I could have been there. It was mine. And I turned my back on it because of my neglect of my spiritual life. And then people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is telling these Jews, you know what, there's going to be people from all over the world, Gentiles coming into God's kingdom while you're left out. I wonder if that caused weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wonder if we gnash our teeth when we start to realize who God lets into his kingdom, especially if we get left out. My high school class reunion a few years ago, the organizers ask us all to write down a few words about what's been happening in your life since you graduated. And I was astounded. I think that's probably an accurate word. Astounded to read the words that some of my classmates, from some of my most reprobate classmates wrote about trusting in their Lord Jesus. It was like, wait, you believe in Jesus after the way you acted in high school? These are people who are entering through the narrow door. They're in the kingdom. And you might ask, well, how is that possible whenever they had all of those sins bulking them up, keeping them out of the kingdom? Well, they don't have those sins anymore. They took them off. They handed them over to Jesus. It is called repentance. And now Jesus knows those people quite well, even though they're reprobates. In fact, you know, I would think you would know someone pretty well if you'd worn their sin to the cross. Jesus knows where they came from. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And he invites you and me to do exactly the same thing, to repentantly come and cling to him. A few years ago, we had this very same graphic on the front cover of our bulletin, and somebody asked me, how come the guy's not wearing any clothes? And I hadn't thought about it before, but maybe the artist is trying to tell us, unless you take off everything about your life, all of your good work claims, as well as your sins, and hand it over to Jesus, you're not going to fit through the door. If Jesus asks you how you're going to fit in, don't tell him about your church membership or all the things that you have done for our congregation or your good works in the community. Those are good. They are the right response to faith. But Jesus just might remind you, if you start claiming those, of all of the evil thoughts and words and deeds in your life and say, depart from me, you worker of evil. If Jesus asks you, how are you going to get through the narrow door? You just point to the cross. You remind him that you have taken off all of your own claims. You have handed your entire sinful life that bulked you up to him, and he wore it to the cross, and it isn't on you anymore. Say it and mean it when you sing during communion. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's what repentant faith does. Doesn't carry anything or wear anything. It just clings to Jesus. Oh, well, we do wear what Jesus gave to us in baptism. His perfect life in place of our imperfect life. His sacrificial death that paid off all of our debt. His resurrection that promises our resurrection. His sprinkled blood. His invitation into that eternal feast. All given to you in your baptism. What then is this narrow door that gets you into the kingdom? Jesus. Doesn't he say, I am the door? I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that offends some people. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He's saying, unless you repentantly believe that I am the only way to heaven, that I have paid for your sin, you're not getting in. And people say, well, that's exclusive. Yes, it is. Because Jesus is the exclusive one, the only one who has done what is necessary to save. He's the only one who then can save. Think about it. Buddha didn't pay to remove your sins. Muhammad didn't pay to remove your sins. Abraham didn't pay to remove your sins. Joseph Smith didn't pay to remove your sins. Martin Luther didn't pay to remove your sins. Jesus did. That makes him the exclusive door. Furthermore, Buddha, Muhammad, Abraham, Joseph Smith, Jesus, they all died. Yep, Jesus too. But who's the only one who 3 days later was alive again? So who is the only one to whom you can entrust the ability to raise you when he returns on the last day? Jesus. Jesus alone. That makes him the exclusive, only narrow door into heaven. You see, the door is narrow, not because God wants everybody out, but because Jesus is the only way in. But he is inclusively exclusive. Which is to say, if Jesus wanted to be exclusive, he would have said, I only want certain people in my kingdom. I'm only going to send Jesus to die for blacks, for whites, for Jews, for poor, for rich, for ugly people, whatever it is he chooses. But Jesus dies for all people. No one excluded, not even you or me. Jesus rises to life for all people. No one excluded, not even you or me. So all who trust in Jesus enter through the narrow door. No one excluded, not even you or me. Now that's inclusive exclusivism. When you understand that you're not going to fit through into God's kingdom unless Jesus pulls off all those layers of sin and pulls you through the door. When you grasp that the only way you're going to squeeze through is by Jesus, then I invite you to repentantly enter yet another door. the door of this church so that you can hear Jesus say to you, I forgive you all your sins. So that you can eat that body that is a foretaste of the feast to come. So that you can drink the sprinkled blood that fits you through the narrow door. So that you can hear your Lord say that for the joy set before him, for the joy of having you with him forever, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. That's what he did for you. Strive then to enter through the narrow door, which is to say, give heed to your spiritual life. Do not take it for granted. Continue to repent. Continue to come to him whose blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You remember the story? Cain killed his brother Abel. Abel's blood cries out from the earth for vengeance. Get even with them, Lord! Jesus is also murdered, just like Abel was, but Jesus' blood cries out differently. Jesus' blood does not cry out, damn these people like they deserve, Lord. It cries out, Father, forgive them. Jesus' blood cries out, you who are last can be first, because I who was first became last for you. Jesus' blood cries out so that you and I, Gentiles though we be, can enter in from the north and the south, the east and the west, and join in the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. See, we go back to that very the question that was asked at the very beginning of Jesus. Are there going to be few saved or many? Answer, don't worry about it. You strive to enter through the narrow door. Run with perseverance the race. Fill your life with good works. Most of all, fill your life with repentance. And then all your thoughts, all your words, all your deeds, hand it off to Jesus. He takes care of them at the cross, and you fit quite comfortably through the narrow door and are welcomed into the feast. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace in the world, for unity and concord in the church, for harmony, patience, and love in our families, for Joe and Brianna as they celebrate their wedding anniversary. Let us pray to the Lord. For protection against every act of violence and terror, for just and fair laws, for good order in our society, for those who govern us, for safety in our homes, and for daily bread in the lives of all, let us pray to the Lord. For schools and colleges and seminaries, for those who teach and learn, for the campus ministry at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, for the wisdom of God's word to guide the knowledge of his creation in all teaching, for the flourishing of all the arts, sciences, and technology that are God-pleasing and beneficial to our world, let us pray to the Lord. For those charged with leading our nation and other nations, for those who punish the wrongdoers and honor virtue, for good citizenship among us and for godly stewardship of God's resources that have been entrusted to us, let us pray to the Lord. For the church all around this world, for our congregation, for St. Mark, St. Paul, Zion congregations, for the preaching of God's word to create and strengthen faith, for pastors and church workers, for missionaries and their families, for our bold witness to the people in our community, for our catechumens, including Chris, Gwen, Audrey, Adam, and Mel, and for the number of saved to be many, let us pray to the Lord. For Ken, Son, Wayne, Bonnie, Bee, and every baptized member of this congregation, that we strive to enter through the narrow door, be reminded of the washing of regeneration that God has given us, be filled with repentance, and be included in those who enter the feast from every direction. For our preparation to receive the blessed body and blood of Christ, for the erring to be called to faith, and for those who have fallen away from Christ to be restored, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those who suffer, for those who are troubled in heart or mind, for the grieving in their sorrow, for the dying in their last days, and especially for the family and friends of Nick and Sharon and Justin as they mourn. For Dale, Brian, Stanley, Barry, Hope, Ed, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, Scott, John, Nina, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, and Reagan. Let us pray to the Lord. For humility of heart, for love for our neighbors, for a flourishing of works of mercy among us toward those in need, and for a generous spirit that joyfully supports the church and those in need, let us pray to the Lord. To you, O Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory, worship, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
We stand for the service of the sacrament, page 208.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and dark angels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord.
Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. True Lamb of God, you take
Thank you.
to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this
fleeting breath, Lord Jesus, has given to you his body and blood, which has entered the narrow door and had a foretaste of that fleeting breath. Go in peace.
See me on
thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you've given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm, keep us in the true faith. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.